Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carey Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank.
Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith
begins right now.
And we welcome you in on our second installment of Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, along with the general manager. I'm Cole Pepper. Vic Ketchman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, here as well. No hour and 50-minute delays for the start of this show. We start it right on time. What the heck did you do in that hour and 50 minutes, by the way?
Well, a number of phone calls because there's a...
So you're getting work done.
Yeah, work, and then there were some things logistically with trying to communicate with Tony Sperano and Jeff Ireland, and with what their thoughts were, communicating with Jack and certainly conveying my feelings, and then obviously keeping Wayne involved in the decision. And you got to talk to the referee who's communicating with the league office. And so I did talk to Ray Anderson at the league office, and there's a lot of things going on with these delays and monitoring the weather, and they try to do everything from the league office. They have a situation where on any given game night they're monitoring games and weather and everything directly from there. So it's an electronic age that we live in, and that's basically how things are done.
Here's the obvious question to be asked. And I've gotten it from people and asked Vic all day long, and now I get to ask it. What if the thunderstorms, what if the lightning had persisted through the evening, and obviously they had to postpone the start of the game? Would they have played it the following day?
I don't believe so. I don't know that for a fact. I mean, it's the commissioner's call on the cancellation of a game, and certainly if it would be played the following day, that would be to his discretion. I know I was a part of the Philadelphia-Baltimore preseason game. I was there to scout, and they canceled it because of the surface. And so that game wasn't replayed, to my knowledge.
So they wouldn't have brought the two teams back at, say, 1 o'clock the following day and try to pick up that revenue? I mean, you know, if they had canceled the game, they've got to refund the money.
I would think so, and I think that's an excellent question, but that was never discussed. The whole plan was to play the game Saturday night, and again, I don't know what the league's contingency plans are with two teams that are that close. Mm-hmm. I do know that if, in fact, you would have had to cancel the game at, let's say, middle of the second quarter, I'm not sure the game would have been continued on.
Right. I was in one of those, third quarter of the College All-Star game in 1976, and that was it. They never played the game again. It was the College All-Star game, which was in business for decades, ended in the third quarter during a lightning storm in 1976. So, yeah, I can tell you it happens that way. But you don't think they would have played the next day and Wayne would have had to refund all that money? I mean, you think that's what would have happened?
Well,
had
just
to.
The logistics of it. I'm not sure that would have happened. I mean, it'd be a good question for the commissioner. Hmm. And, again, it was never discussed, and I've been a part of one other game that wasn't to do with the weather. And, you know, when the game's canceled, I think what you do is you regroup, you understand it's a preseason game, you may go back out as a football team that following week and be in more padded exposures. Mm-hmm. But, again, a good question, Vic.
You know, the other question I had, I know in baseball there are curfews for the latest time you could start an inning. Mm-hmm. Does the NFL have curfews for these kind of games? Do you know of anything like that?
Well, I think they would like to have the game go off by 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, being in the Eastern time zone, I'm not sure what plan they would have employed if, in fact, we could not have started the game at 10.
Yeah, but baseball's curfews, Cole, those are municipal laws. In other words, there used to be something called blue laws. You couldn't start an inning after a certain time. I don't know if Jacksonville has any laws as far as not being able to play a football game after midnight or something like that. I mean, the league wouldn't do it anyhow. So
I'm just glad that they finally got it going. We got out of here with our post-game show about 1:45. So we were, you know, when there's post-game shows to be done, there's post-game shows to be done. So I was, and I don't think I was the last one out.
But you know, looking at it seriously, if Wayne Weaver would have had to cut a check to refund, I mean, that's a serious hurting, man. I mean, you are going to feel that one. I guarantee you he was walking around here Saturday night with a major concern for that. I mean, that's just something you don't plan for that. You've got no fund for that.
Right, but again, I think the league office and, again, the commissioner has the final say. They were committed to playing the game Saturday night.
Yeah, but what if the weather doesn't cooperate? I mean, what if it just keeps lightning?
I think you keep your fingers crossed, and if, in fact, it doesn't cooperate, I'm not sure we replay it. But I'd like to get that answer because that's a good question.
Yeah. One more thing on this subject, and this is something that Jeff and Brian and I are going to get into on Wednesday night. We do live in a place where weather is an impediment, an obstacle. I mean, early in the season, weather's an issue in Jacksonville.
In terms of safety, especially.
Well, you could have had it. It doesn't have to just be a lightning storm. It could have been a tropical storm. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be high wind. It could be a dangerous situation, and it can cause cancellation. During the break, I'll put a, pencil to it. It's many millions of dollars. And it can be devastating.
Yeah, and you can find bad weather anywhere. I mean,
go
in the Midwest, you have tornadoes,
you can.
Earthquakes out west. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen.
Yeah.
But, of course, we're here. We see it all with the tropical storms and the lightning and everything else. Well, we want to remind you that if you want to take part in the show here, you can do that via Facebook and just like the page, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. And you can see there's a long post there with a number of questions, and I'll be picking out the best questions and comments to be part of the show. Already almost 100 posts on there. Keep it clean. I want to remind some folks who might need to keep it clean on there. But be sure to put your question in there for the general manager, and we can get to that. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars reward cards when you purchase at least 10 gallons of 8 gasoline and get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to jaguars.com. We'll get into actual football and not weather forecasts and stadium curfews and everything else when we come back. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
So here's Scotty McGee, another sixth-round pick, the return man from James Madison, who stands near midfield, and the ball is blocked! It is blocked! There's a safety, and Rashad Jennings got it.
Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right here on Jaguars Radio. Time now for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. Jags got some guys back on the field on Saturday night against Miami. Aaron Campman and Tyson Alualu combining for a sack. They got back in there. Jarrett Dillard and Daryl Smith all made their returns. Rasheen Mathis did not play with what was being described as a hip flexor, so we'll keep an eye out to see if Rasheen's back in the lineup this week. Eben Britton also has not seen any action in the preseason thus far. When the Jaguars win, we all win. At Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday. After a winning game, it's all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. All right, so let's ask you, that whole delay, fans, Vic, I think, made the point that how impressed and how surprised he was about the
fans,
how many fans stayed around. What do you think of the fans on Saturday night?
I thought it was incredible. It, to me, was a little exciting to be starting the year here at home in the preseason, and to see that many fans with how the weather was a factor through the night, and the game was delayed. I was really fired up for the fans because, again, they were loud and they were very supportive.
Vic, I think you said it was one of those things, a potential scene that we might look back on down the road. You never know.
You never know when something lasting, something profound will have happened, you know. And I use the example of the Immaculate Reception. I mean, that was a franchise that was as bad, it was the worst in the league. And this ball comes, you know, is caught out of the air, and they go into 40 years of prosperity. It just happened. I mean, you know, no one can predict that kind of thing. And I'm not saying that what we saw Saturday was the Immaculate Reception, but all of a sudden they said, okay, folks, you can go to your seats, and they came pouring out of these portals into the stadium, and there was an energy about them that was saying something. There was a message in the energy, and the message, you know, to me was something about a rebirth, you know, some kind of new feeling that, well, because it's new, obviously we haven't seen it in a while. We sure didn't see it last year, and I think it can become contagious.
One story, by the way, from that delay, everybody was packed in those vomitories, they call them, the openings.
Vomitoriums.
Yeah. I think vomitorium would be something different, but I think vomitorium, whatever it is.
No, that's what they're called.
So anyway, they're packed in there, mm-hmm. and as they're waiting, there's folks underneath the stadium. I started seeing people putting Facebook updates and tweets and calling me and emailing, saying, oh, Wayne Weaver's over here in the East Club shaking hands and talking to me. It's under the south end zone. So the D-line's playing. It was, you know, while it was a pain for everybody, I think a lot of folks, and including the Jaguars owner, took it as an opportunity to get out there and, you know, make it an opportunity rather than an obstacle.
No question. I was actually trying to track Wayne down, and he was out with the fans. And, you know, from my perspective, it was such a great feeling to see that many fans hang around. And I was at a game at Virginia Tech a number of years ago, and it was a situation right before kickoff. Lightning mm-hmm. came upon us, and it was really a scary situation. You had kids in the stands. You had people hustling to get out of the stadium, and they just weren't prepared for it. And again, it was a downpour, and it was a major lightning storm. And what took place and how it was managed here, I think, for the safety of the fans was tremendous.
All right, well, let's talk about the game. What'd you take out of the game?
Well, I thought the one thing, you knew Miami was coming in as a power run team, and we're going to try to establish the run throughout the first half in particular, and we held them to 2.8 yards a carry. So I thought that was a good thing. I did think getting a couple guys back and getting a chance to see him play was a good thing, not just for myself and the scouts and the coaches, but also for the fans. So I believe once we get all parts in place with our frontline group in particular, you'll have a better indication of what we can be like this season.
Well, the obvious question is Tyson Alualu. How did he play? What were your thoughts on him as you looked at the tape?
Well, he played with a lot of energy, for one. I think he was excited to be out there like the fans were in the stadium. And, you know, that's the other thing on Aaron Campman. When those two were in there and the sack was made, you saw two players with great inspiration towards their teammates. And that's kind of the energy that you got to feed off of on the defensive side of the ball. So I thought not just, you know, Tyson, he showed quickness and he showed active play on the inside. He even held the point versus a run. But Aaron made his presence felt.
Now, what's with the running game?
Well, we've thrown the ball, I think, close to 70% of the time in the preseason. And certainly with the passing game, there's a lot of timing and rhythm and precision that you're trying to develop. But I also think as we go through these last two preseason games, you'll see some emphasis on the run game because there's also timing, rhythm, and precision as to what you do in that part of the offense. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a few questions from the fans chiming in on Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Here's one, Mr. Smith writes, William, in your opinion, what would you say are the most what would you say you were most impressed with in regards to the team's performance in these first two preseason games?
Well, I think the return game, for one. I mean, we have two guys, you know, Kareem as the kick returner and Scotty as the punt returner, have shown the ability to get yards in a hurry. So I think that's one particular area. Then I think you saw David take a step at the quarterback position. That was a good thing. And then I think up front, we had 5 sacks in the game. That's a plus. Certainly, we got to do a lot of things better, and I'm confident we will. But there were some very encouraging things in this game.
One of the players that interested me Saturday night is Austin Lane. He has a lot of range for a defensive end, and he's a big guy. I mean, he doesn't get pushed around. And when you drafted him, he was kind of represented as a run-stuffing defensive end. But it looks to me like, I think he's got the whole game. What are your thoughts on him? Is he a guy that can push Derek Harvey out?
Well, I think he's a guy that showed some good things in the game for the fact of missing so much time with the soft tissue injury. So in terms of his run play, I thought that he showed up there. And then certainly he showed some ability to press the pocket as a hard-charging defensive end. So I would like to think he can do that in time, mm-hmm. Vic. But it was just a good sign to see him out there because he was having some fun and he's been very frustrated with his soft tissue injury.
Derek Harvey has never had a guy push him. Will he feel this guy's breath on him?
Well, I don't know.
Should he? Should he? And will it help him if he does?
I don't know if he'll feel it, but he'll smell it.
it's getting close, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm saying from the standpoint Jeremy Mincy and Austin Lane, because they're showing some things, you know, as young players that, you know, can help you win through playing the run, developing as pass rushers, and bringing, again, some energy to the defense that we've probably lacked up front. And so I don't think it's just Aaron and Tyson. Terrence also has the ability to bring some energy. And that's one thing you got to have with the defensive line group if you're going to be able to get an edge of the blocks and be disruptive.
Mm-hmm. Another comment from one of the Facebook posters here. The most frustrating thing for me, writes Terry, is missed tackles, yards after first contact. How's that being addressed?
Well, it was being addressed today with some individual tackling periods. I do think it's a point of emphasis with our coaching staff. It's a thing I think league-wide. I think it's in college football, too. There's not as much padded practice. I think Vic brought that up last week, as there used to be. And I do think that is an area that can improve if you got an athletic defense because a big part of it is athleticism, and then there's will and there's technique. So it's been identified, again, as an area we need to improve, and hopefully that'll be something you'll notice in the regular season.
I heard that the examination doctor's visit that Zach Miller had turned out positive, that he's – meaning – for him, that he's nothing structurally wrong, and this we can expect him to be able to play soon. Any chance he plays Saturday?
I think there's a chance. It was positive. I know he's happy. I know we're happy. Mm-hmm. He can be a playmaker in our pass game. He can do some things even as a move tight end in the run game. But he was making good strides. And then he just had a little bit of a setback. But, again, it looks bright for him to help us this year.
And we look forward to seeing him back out on the field. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. We're back with more. We'll talk a little bit about the quarterback situation, David Garrard's play, and to take some of your comments as well from Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Presented by Suddeth here on Jaguars Radio.
Three receivers, the third goal from the 5. McCown drops the ball, now steps up to run. Running to the left, wants to throw, turns and reaches for the end zone. He got a touchdown. Josh McCown with extra effort.
Some of the highlights from Saturday night's Jaguars-Dolphins preseason game. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. You can vote for your favorite MVP teacher. To be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week, your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. Again, if you want to put a comment in, you can do that via Facebook, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. All right. We've gone 36 minutes after the top of the hour and haven't said anything about the quarterback. Last week, I think it took about 9 seconds to get quarterback thoughts in. So what do you think about David's performance on Saturday night?
Well, I thought he did an outstanding job. He got the ball out quicker. I think he was very decisive, certainly in his reads. And I thought he did a good job of leading our offense.
You know, I always like to see a touchdown, too.
Yes.
You know, the obvious concern from Saturday night has to be, and from the first two games in general, is that in the first half of those two games, the Jaguars have allowed 406 passing yards. Yeah. 205 and by the Eagles and 201 by the Dolphins. That's a lot of passing yards for four quarters of football. And I understand it's the preseason, but if you would, talk about your secondary. I mean, you know, the safety situation has been ongoing. And I know Rasheem Mathis didn't play, but nonetheless, that's 406 yards in a preseason game. What are your concerns about that number?
Well, it needs to improve. I mean, I don't want to talk too much in depth on the play performance from the standpoint of X and O's, but I know you can't give up explosive plays like we did. I mean, we had a tight end that caught a ball on a drag route that from a speed standpoint, he should never be able to make a play like that. I mean, you're talking about a play that's a 8 to 10 yard gainer turns into a home run in essence.
And you got caught. You were in single high safety on that play. Did you get caught in something?
Well, I think you saw what happened. The corner got pinned.
Yeah.
It was a safety play to make, and it didn't happen. And, it's something that it takes away from a lot of good defensive effort when you have a play like that occur. But there's a number of explosive plays that you got to be able to defend to be good on the back end, to be good as a defense. So I know we're working to improve them, and you said the safety play is an ongoing area that certainly needs to improve, and I concur with that. We need a guy or two to step up and start becoming a playmaker on the back end.
Will you be interested in looking at safeties that come free or safeties that might be available via a trade?
Well, we look at the safety position like we look at every position. We'll certainly do that if we get an opportunity to upgrade our football team.
Do you think there's going to be names out there at that position as the season approaches? Is that a position you usually see guys with some pedigrees available?
Sometimes. I mean, it's kind of a year-to-year thing. I'd like to think that there may be an opportunity as we get down to the final cut. There's no given. Sometimes it has to occur through a trade. So we'll look at all options, and certainly that's been talked through a lot, but I don't want to limit it to just the safety position.
Would you be willing to trade a draft pick going into what appears to be a draft next spring that will be loaded with quarterbacks and would sure be a good draft to have extra picks in your pocket?
I would be more apt to do a player for player or to acquire a pick or picks.
Or a broadcaster for a player.
We can arrange a broadcaster for picks might be one to go for in a hurry. That we can probably arrange that.
You have an extra four from this last draft taking into next year's quarterback draft, which looks like it's just going to be a blockbuster for quarterbacks. And you haven't drafted a quarterback since 2003. Did you know that? This team hasn't drafted a quarterback since 2003.
It's been a while, Vic.
I mean, so you obviously knew that.
He reads Ask Vic. Of course he knows that.
By the way, I have opined. I have said that if you don't draft a quarterback next spring, I will swim the St. John's River at its widest point. Please tell me you will draft a quarterback next spring.
Well, I'm committed to upgrading the team at every position when the opportunity presents itself. So,
it was not the answer I was.
Get your trunks
for.
Out just in case, Vic. Have you said flippers and a mask? Or are we just going? Are we going to have to grease you up like you're swimming?
Obviously,
the channel?
I'll die. So I'll just change the wording. If you don't draft a quarterback, I'll commit suicide.
Just the visual of you jumping in the river might be enough for me. Another thought here from one of our Facebook posters. Gil is seeing a lot of linebackers picked up, and he's wondering if that means the 3-4 defense is coming back.
No, we've just had a lot of soft tissue injuries, and plus, you know, we're looking at backups on our football team and trying to figure out do we have enough backers, whether you keep 5 or 6 that are going to be in the top 53. So for me, we're going to continue to evaluate why we have some guys coming back off of, you know, some injuries and see where that takes us.
Did you happen to check out what Sean Lee is doing, the guy that you wanted to trade for? He's tearing it up for the Cowboys. Did you know that?
No, but again, it doesn't surprise me. If you evaluate them properly coming out, they usually become what they were.
All right, so talking about making cuts, the first line of cuts to 75 come after the third preseason game. That's just a cut of 5 players there. And then, of course, after the 4th preseason game, the cut down to 53. And this is a conversation we had on Saturday night after the game, looking at, you know, these 2 young kick returners who've really been terrific in Deji Kareem and Scotty McGee. You've already got a kicker and a punter, obviously. You've got a long snapper in Jeremy Cain. You've got a couple of coverage guys in Montel Owens and Osgood. So you've got a bunch of guys here who appear to be special teams players only or special teams players primarily. How many of those guys can you keep on a roster?
Well, it depends how many is in your top 53. I go back to that because I think when you look at specialists, you got to look at 4 players. You got to look at the punter, the kicker, the long snapper, and then your return specialist. Because it's very difficult to find the most difficult position to play, and that's the punt returner, in terms of courage and decisiveness and certainly speed to finish a run. And obviously the quarterback position, there's a lot more to it, but I'm just saying from a courage standpoint, it might be the most difficult to play with the way the ball comes off the punter's foot in this league. I mean, the hang time and the ability to get down and the speed that's covering punts and kicks, you got to have a special individual back there. So when you look at a guy like Scotty, he is a starter. He even looked like a guy like Deji. He's a starter on kick returns. And they're tremendous plays for momentum and field position. That's like having, you know, Mike Thomas on offense. Mm-hmm. That's certainly like having Mike Walker on offense. And then you look at a couple other guys. Montel Owens is certainly Maurice Jones-Drew running down on our coverage units. You look at a guy like Kasim Osgood, he's like Daryl Smith on defense. Running down covering. So you're looking at players who make an impact or have a factor on the outcome of the game. And for our special teams to get good and for us to win this phase of the game the majority of the time, you got to have some impact type players, and I feel like we have it this year.
So you can, and traditionally that's where, you know, you see a lot of coaches when they make those cuts and they look at it and say, too many special teams players. We need some backup linebackers or whatnot. You think it's worth it if they're that kind of impact player on special teams to be thinner at another backup position on offense or defense?
I do, but again, you got to understand, Montel could play as a running back. Kasim could play as a wide receiver. There's only 11 guys you can get on the field offensively and defensively at one time. You got to look at winning the football game. Acquiring the best players and keeping the best players. And I feel like if special teams are important to your team, you got to do the things necessary to put you in place to be successful in that phase, and I think we have.
And Vic looks like he's pondering a thought on
that. We're up against a break.
Yeah, let's do this. Vic will pontificate on special teams and the roster makeup. We'll get to that after we take this time out. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudeth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
David takes the snap, turns and throws. He's got a man, and it's caught. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Mike Thomas got it.
Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudeth. Cole Pepper, Vic Ketchman here as well. And another 9 minutes or so up to the top of the hour with the Jaguars general manager. All right, Vic, I interrupted you as you were, I could see you formulating it.
Yeah, the wheels were turning, yeah. And we kind of talked about this during the break. So Gene knows where I'm going to go with this. But, okay, you got all these really good special teams guys that are just really special teams guys. Sim Osgood, I know he's a receiver, but his specialty is special. That's how he makes a team, special teams. Montel Owens, the two returners. It's great. I'm all for it. But they're going to have to knock somebody off the roster, and I would think it would be a, one of the non-premium positions, you know, a safety, a guard, a fullback, that kind of thing. You're not gonna cut a corner. You're not gonna cut a tackle, that kind of thing. And then I've got these guys like Zach Miller, who plays a position that's kind of nondescript. You know, it's kind of this and that and the next thing.
Well, it's not defined, maybe.
Well, right? it's tight end slash H back slash wide receiver. So he's got to fit into a special category. And then the fullback. Well, you need him on some downs, but not every down. You know, you certainly need him when you want to run the ball. Well, I mean, how do you blend all of this? How do you put the fullback in the game and not announce we're running the ball? How do you put Zach Miller in the game and not announce we're throwing the ball? You have any thoughts on this?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, who you're playing. I really do, because that's what game planning is all about. As to what your offensive plan will be going into that particular week. I think when you got a chance to acquire good players, you do it. I do feel like Zach Miller is almost like an inside receiver as a flex tight end because he's big and he's fast. What he's got to show us is he can be durable. I think that's number one. I think what Greg Jones can do, they've utilized him, you saw last week, as an off-the-line move player. He can line up as a off-the-line tight end. He can move out of the backfield as a fullback, blocking and catching. And certainly we got an all-pro running back aligned behind him mm-hmm. a lot. So it gives us a lot of different things that we're capable of doing offensively. And then again, we got Mercedes Lewis, who
right.
is a big tight end that really emerged a year ago, not just run the football, but he could be a factor in the pass game. So we got a lot of different things that we can do. And so I think it's a valid question, and it's something that I entrust in the coaching staff to utilize the personnel.
I think you've got weapons. I think this team has uncovered a lot of weapons in a short period of time, and it goes back to that draft class last year that fixed the wide receiver problem or receiver problem in general real, real quick. I mean, you took four guys, and they all look like they're going to be home runs. I mean, even Tyquan Underwood, he may be the home run of all home runs, seventh-round pick, and he may be your home run hitter. So it looks like you've got a lot of weapons, but I'm wondering how are you going to blend all of these guys, because if I'm a – And again, it's up to the coaches, and they know this stuff, and I don't. But if I'm a defensive coordinator and I see Zach Miller in the game, then I'm going to play pass. If I see Greg Jones in the game, I'm going to play run. And if they're both in the game, and somebody else isn't in the game, then I'm glad is on the bench.
Well, there's a lot of different things you could do. You could have Maurice Jones-Drew and Jennings on the field at the same time. I mean, there's mm-hmm. a lot of different things that Dirk can do to utilize the talent on offense, and I think that's the key with an offensive-defensive staff is maximize the talent and play the strength of the team you have that given year. Now, certainly we're trying to acquire players that can upgrade a roster and help us do the things and go to the places we want to go. But, again, that's probably a better question for Jack and Dirk as to how they're going to utilize mm-hmm. The personnel. But it's a valid question that I think goes into your game planning for the upcoming opponent.
Dirk's got a lot of O's. He's got a lot of circles to keep him up late at night, you know, thinking about how to use them.
Yeah, which is a good problem to have if you're an offensive coordinator. You like that
issue. I'm just glad it's not my problem.
Yeah. Right. No, the only thing I was going to say is it's a good problem to have, I think. But, again, coaching's about the X's and O's, and scouting's about the Jimmies and the Joes. So I'll take care of my defined role.
All right, let's look ahead a little bit here. This next week, the third preseason game is typically the feature preseason game, where at least in terms of the starters, you see the starters the most, and we expect that again. but you play against a team in Tampa that is not going to have their starting quarterback. Looks like Josh Freeman's going to be out the rest of the preseason and maybe a little bit more than that. So what are your expectations? What do you look for down in Tampa?
Well, you certainly understand that football is a team sport, so they're going to have all their other players lining up. And most teams, the second and third preseason games, they play their starters the most. And so I see Tampa Bay, because of the fact they've had some success here in the preseason, you know, playing with a lot of confidence and, you know, doing a good job, I think, of having their team ready again to try to get another win against a team that hasn't gotten a win here in the preseason. So I'd like to see our pass defense a little bit better, even without Freeman playing.
Who's the quarterback for Tampa this week? Because you caught me by surprise.
I would think Josh Johnson, probably, the University of San Diego product, who was a heck of a college player. I mean, the numbers he put up playing for Harbaugh at San Diego were very impressive.
It would have been better had you played Miami in Game 3. I would have liked to have seen Saturday's game played by two teams that had game planned, that had, you know, they're going to do some game planning for this game, right?
Well, I don't know how much any team game plans for an opponent in the preseason. They may work on some things they're going to utilize throughout the season against someone on our schedule. But do they do the intensified game planning of the regular season? No. I like things probably a little bit more vanilla for evaluation purposes, so we can just allow their talent to take over. There's not a lot of thinking out on the field. But, you know, and I want to see people win more in one-on-one contested situations than off a scheme. So from my standpoint, I just trust the head coach. If we're going to scheme a little bit more, that's fine. If you ask a scout, you'd probably say you'd want to be a little bit more vanilla to evaluate.
Do you feel as though the team you played Saturday, do you feel the Dolphins are a Super Bowl contender? There are people who think they may be that they are clearly a team on the rise and that they may be on the verge of entering that arena.
Well, I think in the NFL or college football, high school football, you got to know who you are. I think they got a good grasp on who they are. They're going to try to run the football. They're going to play action pass. They got a quarterback to get the ball down the field. I mean, he's got a vertical arm. And they're going to try to play defense and be sound in the kicking game. I mean, you saw last year at the University of Alabama, their formula to winning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something, Vic, that you've been a part of in your Pittsburgh background is that formula.
Yeah, and the classic Bill Parcells look, the quarterback, the left tackle, the star receiver, and a couple running backs. I mean, those are the pieces on offense that win for you.
That'll do it for Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Gene, thanks a lot. Vic, thank you. For Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening. Tomorrow night, the Jack Del Rio Show at 6 o'clock, and then Wednesday it's Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. We'll have coverage of the game Saturday in Tampa, 7:30 for kickoff. The Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show begins at 4:30. Thanks for everybody who contributed on Facebook as well. And thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudden, right here on Jaguars Radio.